Welcome to Argue Brothers, the podcast that gives you multiple perspectives on today's hottest topics. Whether you're young or old, you'll want to hear what the Argue Brothers have to say because you might learn a few things. So open up your mind to the fresh perspective that's coming your way right now.
Hey, so it's Brandon, the editor here, and so basically the Craigbot of Discord decided to drop out a bunch, which I have plenty of experience with. It had been better lately, but apparently not anymore. So there's some clips in here that kind of jump from point to point. Nothing I can do about it, but make it sound decent. So with that in mind, enjoy.
All right, so on this new episode of Argue...
I realized I am want. They were going to try to sell first. Yeah, and they had service and everything. So I was like, instead of that, that's only like about like $20 to $50 a month. I could definitely... Let me take this opportunity in front of me to use for it on the back end. Because I could definitely find a use for this, right? So I was, and plus, I have to admit, I do not like Apple because I don't like how it traps ecosystem. You into their... traps you into their ecosystem, yeah. Traps you into their ecosystem. Similarly... How I don't like LeBron.
Hey, what up, Craig?
Sorry for that interruption. You were saying that now you're having the comparison between the two. So now that you have the two, which one do you feel like is more you now? Because now you're gonna take some time to break it in, just like you would a new shoe or a new game. It's gonna take you a couple of days, maybe a week or two, to start getting used to it. And at some point, you're gonna start to see why people, you know, like the simplicity of the iPhone and how the UI and everything. It just fits together. But so far, how do you feel about it? Because now, you know, you're like a newbie with the iPhone. You used to have an iPod. You know, that's how we really solidified our friendship, was playing a lot on Gumbros on the iPod and ordering Chaos and Game Loft. Was it Game Loft?
Yeah.
You know, but how's it feel now that you have a iPhone once again and your team Apple slightly for a couple of minutes?
I didn't even know how to power the phone on and off. I really will, even just holding it for right now and using it, it's just so smooth. I like just flipping through the minions, just going to the things. And I was just looking at like, I'm like, because of how everything is so integrated, right?
Right.
And so the system, how they have, I'm just looking at this thing called shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can script it to do what you want it to by telling Siri and action. I'm like, oh my God, how intricate can you get with these scripts? I'm just looking at the automation.
You can even tell alone. Siri to tell you what your name is, and you can give yourself a nickname.
Okay, bro, I want to let you know how low level that is, what you just said, compared to what I'm talking about, making little scripts and actions on the phone.
I know. Yeah, the phones, I guess that's beneficial too. The phones vary in differing things that it can do. And that's why the phone is so amazing, because it has such a wide variety of what it's able to do. That's why you should have joined the team a long time ago when they were already on the money, you know? But
hey man, if y'all start seeing more selfies, it's because this phone made me look just a little bit better.
The low lighting on there ain't no joke. And that portrait mode, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, this is the social media phone right here.
Oh, for sure.
This one add an extra couple points to this boy.
Oh, for sure.
A little bit sharper.
Your hair's going to look a little bit better, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, definitely. I still have to figure out good uses for it though. But I do like Apple products. I'm definitely not fully against it, and I'm definitely gonna have to look into a lot more now. I'm gonna reach out to the Apple people.
It's like you got a select circle of Team Apple people who've been vouching for it for years. Every time you've been trashing it, huh?
Yeah, for sure. At least for sure, I have a few ideas. Like I'm gonna definitely use it for like certain numbers I'm gonna give out for like business, like doctors, that kind of thing for sure. And then when I start doing freelance and stuff like that and web design stuff, now I wasn't gonna have a number for. I was just gonna have like an email. Mm-hmm. Now I can actually have an actual phone number for business people to reach out to me and stuff on. And I can put this phone number on my LinkedIn and stuff. Yeah, I have a whole separate number as well.
That's your business account now.
So I have a whole business number now. So anytime that phone rings, I know it's either business or a doc or something. So I definitely have to answer regardless of what it is. And so I can definitely answer like, hello, I answer with a certain cadence. I know this is not like my personal phone. This is my work phone. So I can answer a certain way.
Yeah.
I keep that separate and I know
because it feels different. It feels professional.
It's a whole different phone. Yeah, I know for sure.
It feels feels luxurious. It feels like you're making money every time you pick up, like, oh, hello? Yeah. Yeah. How much you said? How much you said? Yeah, exactly. It's like, how much you said? Oh, you need 700? Oh, that's perfect. Boom. Payment done. Boom. First job over.
Oh, yeah. But just from learning more and more in general about how to make sure I don't waste the things I buy and how to make sure the things I buy pay for themselves. Like, I definitely make this phone work. So as soon as I came home, maybe what I'm doing, I'm doing research on, like, what's the best way to utilize two phones? How do you get the most out of having multiple? Because, like, as soon as the first thing I think about now when I have something and a new opportunity, I try to is think about, I could take the opportunity now and learn about how to best utilize it later. Because we have the best information source in the world, which is the internet. Correct. And it can answer basically any question.
It's the best library in the world.
And so I don't have to worry about the problem. I just have to worry about finding the solution later on.
Oh, for real.
I can just take the phone. Like, that's why I realized so many opportunities I passed up on. I was worried about if I could do the thing that had to be done at that time, not realizing I didn't have to do it at that time. I just had to accept it and then learn how to do it later or solve whatever problem that came up as it happened.
Yeah,
that's how a lot of when you're talking about the hero story, they accept the massive scale of saving the world and go out and to do that, but they have no idea how to do it yet. They just go with the problem and figure it out as they go.
Right.
And so it's just like they just took the opportunity. And so it's just like I'm trying to more and more now let the opportunity scare me instead of take the opportunity and learn as it goes. Because again, the greatest teacher is the internet, and then you have people that are willing to help you around you as well.
Yeah, like the library is like the greatest place to be because you can just suck up all the knowledge that it's giving you. It's like this eternal sponge of information. And the internet is a literal online library, especially websites like Wikipedia that just give you a whole bunch of information. And, you know, when you use an iPhone, it's kind of customized. You know, certain websites are kind of customized with the certain AMPs in order to better service the iPhone user. So it just goes to show that it's kind of more lenient towards a UI-friendly way when you think about, you know, the mobile devices. Not to say that the Android devices aren't like that, but it's just like everybody has their own personalization. And like I mentioned earlier before, you know, Apple is like a professional at it. It's in the business of giving you the best, you know, the simplest and available to everybody. So it's kind of dope. You finally on board with it and you're using that opportunity, because if not, you know, you could have just had one phone and been like, whatever. But to actually look at that opportunity and say, you know, now I get to iMessage fellow customers or fellow future customers or networking buddies. Now it's like,
I'm going to definitely use it as a spear point. Cause I was listening to, I'll follow after you. You always, you stop listening to music as much and instead you started focusing on using your ear time to try to get further ahead in life. And so I was listening to some of these podcasts about web design, and it's the web designer brought on a freelancer who made about like $200,000 in about 2 years now, and they do web design stuff like that and regular design as well, graphic design. And they were talking about how important communication is, and they were talking about how important communication, more important than doing the job well. Cause a lot of people going thinking that what skills they have and what programming skills, what skills they can do and how well they can do the job is more important than being able to communicate and being like upfront and always being honest and always being like just being a general good person to is so important. And I was watching that and I was just like, definitely now I have this phone line as well. I can actually put a phone up. I'm gonna put a phone number in there as well, so they can actually when they want to contact me, they got a direct line to my ear. They ain't gotta worry about that. And I'm gonna set a nice voicemail so they can reach out to me and I'll give them a call back and everything. Going wait either, and then I'll set up my I can set it with shortcuts. Make a reminder for so and so called it this time. You got to give them a call back. This is gonna be amazing of utility. So I can definitely find. So even if we're not making monetary value, I can at least use utility. I don't even know what word you want to fit in there, but you know, I can at least use value to my life at least. You know what I mean?
Because so now
with time, because saves so much time.
Yes, because now you could essentially be the go to for anybody that's trying to reach me. You know what I'm saying? Because now people can just go right to you. Because now you the phone man. You got an extra line just for all that craziness. You know what I'm saying?
Oh shoot, I could take some of your important call reception line for you. You know,
yeah,
that is true.
Yeah, because you already know the business end of stuff, so it's like you could already be like having that conversation. conversation. Like, you know how people on Instagram be saying, like, you know, please contact at this person in order to book me.
Oh yeah, I'd be like, oh, I could manage type stuff.
Yeah, it's like, please contact at this person, and then in your thing, you gotta DM me, and then when they DM you, it's like, you gotta call this
and everything on here.
Yeah,
too.
you gotta call this number, boom, and then they call that number, and then you talk to them, and be like, dang, I gotta go through hoops to get to this one itsy bitsy small time nobody looking guy. It's like, yep. That's like,
many squeeze.
And it's like, and then when they ask you why, it's like, because I got an iPhone.
I got two phones, you know, because I got one and two.
Yeah. It's like, I decided to get two phones. It's like, I wasn't going to get one up. So I decided to be a real businessman and get two phones. You know what I'm saying? Because only that's a real hustler right there, is with two phones.
I do it opposite. I get two phones. Then I got to figure out a reason to have them.
That's a pretty cool mindset, because it's like, you know, I saw Supreme Dreams, Mark Phillips. I saw him say that he used to push his team so hard that they would go into apartments and buildings and mansions that they couldn't afford, just so everybody could force themselves to hustle hard. So it's like, he said the biggest place that they had was like a $10,000 a month place, and they wasn't pulling $10,000 collectively. So he was like, we didn't know how we was gonna do it. It's like, and everybody was like, yo, after the first month, we're about to be homeless, Mark. And I was just like, yo, that's the kind of shit I would do. I was like, come on, Fred, let's go do that. It's like, I don't know. I was safe at the crib. It's like, come on, man, we gotta risk it all, or it ain't no fun.
All right. I kind of like that though. I kind of like putting yourself out there. Like, you have no choice, but in a different manner.
They accomplished though, because they would force themselves to hustle hard, you know. And it's like, how now that you have the iPhone, now it's like, oh my goodness, like, this phone is not only aesthetically pleasing, it can take amazing photographs. So anything that you do on a business end that you need photographs, you don't even need a DSLR to take pictures anymore. You can just use your phone, you know, like a phone.
4K recording and everything.
Yes. And if you also buy a little device thingy that keeps it stable, like, you can even do video professionally. And then, you know, you can have like my assistant render it and edit it and whatnot. And, you know, you can have Brandon, shout out Brandon Promises Kept Collective. You can have him clean up the audio, you know what I'm saying? It's like, anything is possible, you know what I'm saying? And yes, I'm always Mr. Motivator out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, that phone adds more value to what you can add to not only the Argue Bros, but also to what your own branding is for Fred in Progress.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
That's what I've been saying. You know, iPhone is the way to go, because it allows you to connect with other people who also have that. You know, it's like, why go against the tide when you can just rise above?
Or when I could split it and have both, like, just walk in between them.
Exactly. You can have both, you know, the best of both worlds. You can have an OS open operating system in the form of Android, as well as a closed operating system in the form of Apple, and being able to be connected to the masses, having access to the masses, and being able to provide them a great service with the web design and Instagram or whatever you decide to put out.
I just wanted randomly, I'm thinking about this, come like, I would not have had this opportunity if I did not have more money. And I was like, money does not hurt people. Having more money does not hurt. It just depends on who you are.
Right.
As a person.
And what you do with it, because as you gain more, you can start to see how you can use it as leverage, and how you can use it in a way to not only benefit you, but benefit those around you and those that are, you know, your community.
That's why I'm not anti-capitalist. I'm not, because without capitalism, there's no route to gain more for yourself and to change, and no incentive to want to change things and provide things for others. Because capitalism, they're not as many people are going to be incentivized to make giant technological innovations and such without having some financial incentive.
I mean, if you're in a socialist place, it's like, you're the same as everyone else, versus in a capitalist society, it's like, only the biggest sharks survive in this tank type of mindset. So if you're providing the biggest value to others, you're going to be shining above others in the easiest way possible. It's like, by uplifting others, you uplift yourself. It's like, like one of the craziest concepts that it's like, oh my goodness, it's like give unto others as you would have them be given unto you. You know, it's like treat others how you would want to be treated. You want, if you had the opportunity to give your brother a lifting hand and a gentle push and a gentle nudge in the right direction, wouldn't you want that upon yourself when it was your turn? You know, it's like, okay, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going into Team Android. Hold on. I need to go Team iPhone. I need to go Team iPhone. I need to make sure, especially because when you connect with more and more people, you'll start to see, you know, just in like, let's say if you was in a conference room and you were just negotiating, you would see how many people have iPhone. And now you can have an iMessage to iMessage conversation, which is not the same as an Android to Android. It's not the same.
In general, I mean, different things you could do.
The emojis are a little bit different. They look different. There's animojis. You can animate this. You can create this like Bitmoji looking face and you can send it to people. So it's like a whole level, a whole other aspect of business communications, which again, what you were referring to earlier is so freaking true. Communication is so vital and key in all aspects. And it's kind of funny because when you think about it, that one skill I feel like I have something like over a lot of other people is communication. And that's simply because over the past 10, 15 years or so, or however long we used to know each other, you know, I've been talking and rambling on forever. So I've been honing that skill. You know, as Malcolm Gladwell says in Outlier, you know, the key to being a master is to do something over 10,000 hours. And then I feel like I've been chatting away with you for over 10,000 hours. So it's like, I'm a master at communication. Now we could just press record and just do this for, you know, Argue Bros. So for me, this is not even that difficult of a thing because I've honed it to that level of a dedication. Same with your level of being receptive to my conversation and my antics and being able to analyze and retort accordingly. It's a skill set that you've developed over having over 10,000 hours of input as well. Now we're just simply displaying it to other people, aka Argue Bros. It's almost like this wonderful and beautiful epiphany to have, like, wow, you know, the same things that we've been doing beforehand, now people can get a rise out of it. Why not take it to the next level? And not only do that, but also improve ourselves and what we're capable of giving to others at the same time. You feel me?
Yeah, and get our voice and opinions, ideas, and also get to hear from other people a lot more. Yeah, and people, mm-hmm. Honestly, it's kind of interesting to put your thoughts out there and then hear someone else's opinion on your thoughts. It's also another intriguing thing about that as well.
Yeah, because it's like now they get to nitpick a conversation, and now you're going to start to understand when people actually take things out of context, because it's going to happen at some point. Somebody's going to hear something you say and it's going to be taken completely out of context, and you'd be like, what? Well, you know, most of those people are iPhone users. I will say that. I will say that.
I hope to be like the great Charles Barkley on TNT at night, man. The man, no matter what, he stand by what he say. Love that man.
Oh man, he will get canceled everywhere. It is funny.
That's because he has never broke what his stance. Whatever he says, he backs up what it says.
He talk his talk, and he don't back down for nobody or nothing.
So we just have to accept it. It's wonderful.
It's like, you know, if you have that mindset, however, you know, I would say you got to be a little bit careful because Charles already set, you know what I'm saying? So he can talk his talk. You know, people like that, people that already have everything already lined up for them, they're good. They can talk their talk because they're already there. You know, for people that aren't there yet, it's like, you know, be careful because you don't want to stub any potential toes. You just never know. You don't know who's going to be the next person that's going to give you a shot at life or it's going to try to elevate you. And what you just said just hurt what they had going for them, type of thing.
But I mean, how I look at it, I look at it differently from you. I look at it as if they were offended by what I said, or mm-hmm. or if I didn't like what they said, or for what they're doing, or anything like that, then mm-hmm. it wasn't really meant to be. If without me knowing them, I said something that offended them, or stated my opinion that in some way they did not agree with, then I guess it just wasn't for whatever situation that was going to possibly happen to agree, because we couldn't agree in the first place. And mm-hmm. that means one of us would have to bend our opinion or bend our will towards the other for that thing to happen in the first place, whether it's deceit or force.
And you think it's possible?
I mean, it's always possible. It's just, is it what's best to come up on a fake some, you know what I mean? Like, not, because I mean, like, you can compromise. I always compromise. But mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's something, if they wouldn't even want to compromise after immediately hearing your opinion, why go forth?
Mm, very true. Very true. Now, when you
honestly kind of avoided something then.
Really?
Yeah, you avoided trouble of the possible, you could possibly come up, but you wouldn't see the downside of the person you're coming up with.
Mm. Does that change the person?
I'm just saying there's two sides to the coin. That's why I'm just saying there's two sides to that coin of what you mm-hmm. were saying. And that's how I think about it. I think a little bit more negatively of how I just like I think about it a little bit more before I decide. Was it a negative decision? Was it negative for the situation to go that way, or was it just like two opposite people wouldn't have agreed regardless? And it just so happens that one person knows what the other one thinking and the other doesn't, so that person who knows decides not to go forth. What possibly could happen, you know?
Mm. Now, when we keep thinking of technology and stuff, do you ever think like we're gonna be having like Neuralink becoming a real thing and having like phones in our head, like AR technology kind of thing, where we just like blink and then like we have projection on our arm or in a like a holograph, like hovering in front of us, like call Fred, doot, 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 or just like talking to a virtual assistant type of thing, futuristic, or you think that's not gonna happen,
bro? The future is endless. The future is endless. The greatest thinker didn't even think of what we have now. Honestly, they haven't thought about what we have now. They thought about a lot of things we could have had that we don't have, like flying vehicles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the thing we have,
no,
like,
we have flying vehicles. Stuff,
like nobody could have thought about the internet. No, you know what I mean. Like,
and just
consistent.
Oh, like air drones and
stuff like that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like the internet was the craziest thing that no one mm-hmm. ever thought of. Like with the internet, there's so many things possible just because of the connectivity of everything.
I mean, yeah, like how I'm doing right now, like just absorbing so much information, you know, like no human being would know, how much information you can hold within you. And then what do you do with that information? You know, do you spread it out with joy and love and care? Do you destroy people with it? Like what it is that you do with it is all upon you, the person, you know, and like the best information that you have access to, the more you can do with it. You know, like 100 years ago, if you would have tried to show somebody a cell phone and how it works and whatever, they would have thought that you had magic, or even like a walkie talkie. Like how is this person able to have a communication with that person so far away virtually when the telegraph was barely in play, the telegraph, barely the phone, you know what I'm saying? So it's like a lot of people consider highly advanced technology magic because they simply don't understand. And it's kind of crazy because when we think about like what would be something that we would consider magical today that in 100 years somebody like, you know, my great-great-grandnephew, you know what I'm saying, or my great-great-grandson, or somebody down my family tree is going to invent something, just throwing it out there because I know my family tree hip like that, you know, my family tree is going to invent something that, you know, right now we'd like, oh wow, you know, you're floating on a broomstick or whatever. And I say in 100 years, you know, they find the technology that's capable of, you know, creating the Batei ascending story, you know, where it's like you have like, you know, a bodysuit or whatever that allows you to fly in the air like jetpacks or whatever. I know that they're doing jetpacks, but those are like big and clunky and require this thing, you know, this huge thing in the back. But the kind of concept I'm saying, it's like you're having it coming from the shoes or something that you don't even see it there. Kind of like, you know, Superman, you don't even see like this guy having like a jetpack. He's just flying in the air type of thing. You know, mm-hmm. that's going to not be magic. That's not going to be alien like in a couple of generations. That's going to be so realistic and capable of happening because the innovation just never stops. I think that's like Murphy's Law or something like that. Isn't it like everything just going to keep doubling or whatever in intellect and like, or something like that?
Something of that nature, but technology will continue to thrive with or without us. And that's why it's one of those mysteries that one human life is enough to solve. Like, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the future?
I'm all down for it. And I'm all down for like trying to like guess what was going to happen. Cause I feel like it's so fun to guess like the kind of technologies that's going to come out and all the kind of cool stuff, like how League of Legends did their introduction with that dragon hologram. I think that was one of the coolest things that ever happened in my life. I didn't even see it live, but when I saw the replay of it, I was just so happy to see that as a human being. I was like, we did that as human beings?
Aren't you thinking about the other possibilities?
Yeah, I was like, yo, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, dude, if my movie came out looking like that, dude, you know how crazy that would would be, like having a whole stadium playing like my movie, and my movie is made for like a stadium like that, levitating in the air and stuff like that. Dude, you know how crazy that would be?
That would be dope. Oh my god, that would be dope. AR movies, that'd be dope.
Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, like an AR movie based off of a concept for my Native American heritage, Taino Indians, like that would be really super. Like, you know, that's my mind just going all crazy and visions, and just like not looking at the realistics and the monetary. Like that would require like billions of dollars and a lot of engineers and scientists and physicists and a lot of money that a broke guy does not have at the moment.
Definitely a lot of money.
But that would be pretty dope. I was thinking about it like, wow, we've came a long way from just being in freaking caves.
Well, for at least for majority of the, I mean, well, a lot of the human population. A lot of the human population still in caves and tents and huts and stuff.
Like my dad was talking about that with me, like how, like, you know, if there was a flood or whatever, that people probably were in caves. And I was like, that's so true, because in a cave, the water would just keep going and run out. And once it runs out, you're free to go back out. It's like, duh.
If they don't drown, and I'm depending on how high they are.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't even think of that. It's like, yeah, it's like you went from, you know, farming and raising cattle and stuff like that to now building cities capable of becoming now what, completely autonomous. Like that's what they're doing. Like, and I don't know if you saw the news where recently the city of I don't know if it was Boston or New York, they shut down their dog thing because it they had like a autonomous police dog. An autonomous police dog.
Okay then.
Yeah, and the autonomous police dog was like really like iRobot, like it looked really scary and menacing, and a lot of the residents in the city were like, this is not good. This is like dystopian, like autonomy.
Oh, everybody, I mean, the headline scared the hell out of everybody. Like, stop this.
Yeah, and
we don't want it.
They called it like DigiDog or something like that, and they were like, no, shut down DigiDog. We don't need that DigiDog. And it's like, yo, it's like a short little mutt, but it could take you down. Like, imagine if somebody hacks into the mainframe of that. Ooh.
Oh, that brings up something very intriguing. Did you see that hack of the petrol pipe?
Oh, I didn't see it too much, but I've been hearing it like crazy. What happened?
Yo, basically one of our number one pipelines I'm gonna look at the name. One of our number one pipelines got hacked. They hacked into a like malware hack, so they put a stop to where it's still hacked right now. And so basically it's one of the main pipelines that brings in oil across America. And so now it's going to be raise the price of oil by this Russian hacker group.
It's going to
raise the price of oil because it's good gas, because it's cheap. I mean, because it's hard to get now. Colonial Pipeline got hacked. And it's a cyber criminal group called Dark Side, bro. It's crazy. And the crazy thing is like a lot of people always are saying that the scariest things about terrorism nowadays with the internet is not about planes crashing into buildings and missiles and nukes. It's hackers attacking our weak infrastructure, because our infrastructure is not that protected. Like a middle school, high schooler hacked into our water system of the city and just like destroyed it, put it down, and so they had to turn it back up and change back the levels. If a little middle school, high schooler hacking that, if they wanted to, they don't got to do that much work. They can take down our cities with just destroying our infrastructures. And so it was intriguing to see that it happened. Like, this is like this downplaying almost how big it is as our number one pipeline in the U.S. It literally.
But who was it done by?
By Russian hackers.
Like that's who's claiming it, or that's who's confirmed.
Dark Side is claiming it, and they are trying to confirm it.
Okay. Yeah. Because
on Monday, the FBI officially confirmed that Dark Side was responsible for compromising Colonial Pipeline's networks, saying that it was continuing to work with the firm and other government agencies to investigate.
Yeah. In school, that was one of the things that we studied, was data breaches. And that's one of the funny things that we learned, that it's going to increase over time, because as things go more digital, criminals are going to understand that, you know, you don't necessarily have to go into a store to rob them of important information. You could just virtually rob them. Like, literally, that's a stick up. That's what a ransomware is. Like,
yeah, the ransomware. Yeah.
It's like, give me all your data and information, or I'm going to expose it, or give me all your money, give me whatever. whatever I'm bribing, etc. And businesses really can't do much. Like, they really can't do anything.
It's crazy that the business actually be paying them all that millions and millions of money.
You know, and you actually kind of have to, because you have nothing else that you can do unless you have top of the line security. But what happens when the top of the line security fails you? Like, what happens when Norton gets hacked? What happens when the number one companies, you know, fall? It's like, when you become a target, you know, it just sucks, but you know, you just got to do what you got to do. You know, some of those companies just decide to hand over the money. Some of them, you know, decide to try to get like the FBI involved and stuff like that. But look, the government is involved, is it not?
Yeah.
And are the results still not the exact same? It's like, it doesn't really change the matter of the fact that the security is so atrociously low that they're still going to get hacked. It just changes the fact that now the FBI has another additional group that it got to follow. And then at some point, you know, they're going to catch them, because the FBI is just like the government. It doesn't sleep. It's just 24/7. And no matter how big of a criminal organization you have, unfortunately, it's just not as big as the government. It's just like, you know, One Piece. It's like, no matter how big of a pirate crew you think you have, it's not the same as having access to, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of taxpayers' dollars and resources. Like, you really think the hacker's going to outlive Uncle Sam? No, the hacker's not going to outlive Uncle Sam. Once the FBI is involved, it's like, you know, it's just a tick tock. It might be a couple of days, or it could take a couple of years. But at some point, you're going to get caught, and it's just going to be like, was it really worth it to do all that for what? For like a couple million dollars? Well, if you can hide out that long, maybe. But most of the time, people are goofy. They mess up. They're easy, you know, and they're going to mess up somewhere, and the FBI is going to catch them. And then it's going to be like, you know, we thought we could get away.
Yeah, it depends on where they're doing it from as well. Because certain countries will never turn them over and such like that.
Yeah, you know, and it'll be surprising how it turns out, because, you know, now you're throwing in politics in there, because it's a, you know, it's like, this is my country's criminal. We'll handle it.
Yeah, the American already said Russia should not be allowing cyber criminals to be in ransomware attack organizations to be stationed in their country.
And it's like, you can't decide that. Like, how can you decide that as a country? It's like, that's like the United States telling, you know, another country, like, don't hate us.
It's taught me one thing, though. I know when I raise my child, they will not, he or she will not think that there's only one language. They won't think it's only English. They will think there's like 11. As they're learning English as a child, plus, then I'm going to teach them Python. I'm going to be teaching them all the languages, because at the minute in life, of just like all the things to be able to do with it, not even just for work, just for in person.
What were you saying?
I was talking about, let me remember.
Interesting. Okay, so moving on. We was discussing in regards to about this and that. So Craig interrupted by going dumb. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue discussing, you know, we was talking about iPhones and Android. Then we started talking about this and that. Then, all I remember is Craig. Craig.
Craig ruined everything, man. Craig took it all. Craig took it all.
Yeah, Craig, I hate you, Craig. We're talking about being consistent with doing stuff, and making sure that we don't give up the things that we do in the endeavors, because the more that we try and we do things, the easier it becomes. You know, like the Argue Bros podcast, the more that we keep doing it, the better that we're going to become at it. And it's just simply because we put our minds to it. And the moment you start saying that you can do things and that you will do things, that's the moment that things actually do start happening. And it's actually kind of cool watching you start implementing that mindset and that growth idea, Fred, because as you see, you are capable of doing it as well. Able to look at the things that you used to say that you weren't able to do, and now making it a reality. Like, dang, I can join a podcast and talk and do it consistently and improve over time, you know, and to the point where it's like, now with your iPhone, you're able to connect and network with people, you know, because you didn't have an iPhone before. And it's crazy. Just with an iPhone, that allows you and it sets you apart from other people, because other people actually would like for you to be able to have an iPhone so that they can say, hey, can I send you an iMessage? Or, you know, what's some things, what's most people's favorite thing to do?
iMessage. And play iMessage games
and FaceTime.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can't FaceTime. Exactly. You can't. You can't FaceTime on an Android. You cannot FaceTime on an Android. So it's like, if you can't FaceTime on an Android, then that means that you're not cool with it. And
one thing. Mm-hmm. Now I remember last important thing I wanted to talk about while we were talking about technology. So just a thought I heard somewhere today earlier. It's just about how if you really just sit there and contemplate on how lucky we are as a generation of like to how much technology and how many things we have available to us nowadays based on like just like 15, 20, 30 years ago and how much opportunity we have and just like what we're doing, not doing with it. It's really crazy. Like this, it really is the easiest time for people to become millionaires. It's the easy time for us to learn so much, to do so much. And the other thing is how lucky we are to be born. How lucky we are to be born in the position we are.
Yes.
And stuff like that. 'Cause I'm like,
and to be mindful of it. And
to be aware. To really realize of like what I have, what opportunities I have available to me. Because so many people like have nothing. And I'm not talking about like the basic. I'm talking about like some people like born into countries that have nothing, like just have to wake every day just try to struggle to get a piece of bread. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like, I want for naught.
Yeah,
and it's something that you just got to really think about and like think about again. You know what I mean? Like,
you got to appreciate what you have and what you have access to and what you're capable of doing. And it's like,
and start putting it to use.
Yes, because if that person that barely had a little bit of anything, you know, is working their butt off to get just two slices of bread the next morning, you know, it's like, what are you doing and how much are you putting in forth to get what you want and double what you want? You know, it's like, if that person's able to give 120% to get two slices of bread, it's like, you're trying to get, you know, let's say five stacks. It's like, how much am I willing to do? How much work am I willing to do to get 10 stacks? It's like, that's the amount of attitude that, you know, you have once you start appreciating more, because it's like your opportunities, your time is so limited. Somebody else is looking at it like, I wish I had, you know, Fred and Progress's youth. I wish I had that mindset, you know, when I was 25. I wish I had that mindset when I was 30, because you know that there's a lot of people that they let things go and it keeps dragging on and on and on, and they recognize the mistakes, but they just don't want to admit it. And if they don't want to admit it, they can't move forward. And the moment you start to admit that, okay, I can't do this, but let me innovate this, you know, like, you know, Nikola Tesla, so important, all his creations that he was able to do when people kept saying that he's not able to do it. And now things are, you know, happening. Like, look at Elon Musk, Tesla company, you know, doing what a lot of people said was impossible, making renewable energy affordable, one, and two, making an electric car luxurious, like very hard things to do, to make something that's not popular, A, popular, and B, luxurious, because that means that you got to gamble on yourself to such a degree that the majority of people's opinion is irrelevant. And it's only the people that actually matter and care and you're tailoring for that actually is what you're seeking. And he did that. And he did that over such a long period of time that now everybody respects what he's been trying to do. And I think that's so important. And if more people started valuing what they brought to the table, AKA if you started valuing what you brought to the table and started and stopped looking at what you can't do and started looking at what you can do and what you have been able to do, and how if you start applying just a little bit of your skill, a little bit at a time, how you could exponentially learn to do it better over a great period of time. You know, it's like once you start getting into that habit, you know, a lot of good things start happening. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, Mr. Fred in Progress, you have anything else that you'd like to add to this podcast?
I think everything was covered today. Be on the lookout for some content coming up in a couple weeks. Definitely going to get more back consistent, doing a little bit more writing. Look out for those articles.
All right. Y'all heard it here. This is Nico Pengen for Argue Bros, episode 4, Rap Cut.
You've been listening to Argue Brothers. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and leave us a review to let us know what you think. Keep listening and we'll catch up with you next week.